This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rise Above Justice Movement podcast. My name is Zachary Mallory, and I am the founder and the host of the Rise Above Justice Movement and the Rise Above Justice Movement podcast. Today, I'll give a viewer discretion as advice due to the nature of the topics that we will be discussing. Today, I am joined by one of the most beautiful and bright and vibrant people on social media, Colleen Luckett, aka the Abortionfluencer on social media. Colleen, welcome to the podcast, my friend. It is so exciting to sit down and talk with you.
Wow, that is quite an introduction. I don't know how many people agree with you on that, but well, thank you so much. Thank you, Zach, for having me.
I think if they have an issue, that's on them, right?
Well, I can be sassy and salty, though, so I understand. I do a lot of like self-reflection on in my advocacy. But anyway, yes, thank you so much for having me.
I will tell you this. Whenever we do we do collaborative posts on Instagram, okay?
Yeah.
We get a lot of people that share it. Yeah. And that are our followers, also your followers. They see that because you've helped our account grow. We've helped you grow. Oh, and
yeah,
we see those numbers continuously increase because we're getting that fact-based information out there. And, you know, I would love for you to introduce yourself to the audience, first of all, but also, you know, what led you into doing this work, and just give us your, you know, your elevator pitch of what advocacy looks like to you in your space.
Yeah, for sure. And I just wanted to say, again, thank you for having me on the podcast. And I'm very honored. And I love the collaboration. And the collaboration on Instagram has been really, really helpful for, like you said, just getting our information out there. So I really, really appreciate you guys at Rise. So, I'm Colleen Luckett, and I'm the Abortionfluencer on all the platforms, all the main platforms. And how I got into it, I grew up in Colorado Springs, and it's a military, you know, it has an Air Force Academy down there. My dad was an English professor in the Air Force Academy there, and I was born on the Air Force Academy there. So I spent my youth in kind of a conservative environment as far as that goes. But my dad being in the English department, they were kind of the black sheep of the Air Force, being in humanities. And so my parents were actually pretty liberal. I'm kind of, and also like not religious. So I have this kind of unusual upbringing where I know like most of my friends, my contemporaries, and then just everyone, a lot of people grew up with that religion and trying to decide for themselves what they wanted to do spiritually, and having that influence and sometimes indoctrination and or more conservative. And I really feel grateful and fortunate that my parents are who they are and taught me, you know, kind of lefty liberal values growing up. And so that's always been a part of my, you know, my upbringing. As far as like reproductive rights specifically, I was a dumbass, you know, as a kid. I am so impressed. I mean, I know it's circumstances, obviously, but you, Zach, and your generation and younger people, I am so impressed with the advocacy, and not just the advocacy, but the like being so bold about it. And I say that because, Yeah, growing up, like it just wasn't a necessity for, Gen Xers. We were, we had our stuff and we had our, we had, of course, we had issues. We had a lot of environmentalism kind of in the 90s, and advocacy, but it just wasn't, I call it the good old days because we just weren't as focused. I mean, people weren't as focused on politics. It just, and so really getting into reproductive rights specifically, I had an abortion when I was 28, and that would have been what, oh, I'm going to age myself, 2002. But it's important to know the date. And at that time, and it's just simply birth control failed. Like it just happens. So many people go through this, and it's not an easy decision. It's even though I knew I never wanted kids, it's, back then it was very much the stigma around abortion was alive and well. And even in liberal spaces, we had the era of safe, legal, but rare, which automatically adds the stigma. And that was on the liberal side, And so I was very ashamed, and very kept it very secret. I think, only my partner and my best friend, I think, I told at the time. I could not tell my parents, even though, they were lefties and very much, taught me the birds and bees early on. We were pretty open about that kind of thing. But because of the social stigma, I just, I couldn't, I hid it, and it was like it just racked, like I was racked with guilt for years about it. And when I finally came, like it was just recently when I felt empowered by your generation, actually, the younger folks, doing the, shout your abortion and be loud, and it's healthcare, and it really helped me shift my own, I guess, biases about it. And the stigma for myself. So I went through a lot of changes just in the last few years, thanks to a lot of the out and loud activism from Gen Z and millennials. And so, yeah. And as far as trying to think what I can tell you after that, yeah, I did. I mean, I did like the Planned Parenthood liberal, kind of like donating to Planned Parenthood and volunteering, and I got involved with our local abortion advocacy group here, which is Cobalt Advocates. They're amazing. They have been just amazing in the last several years when all the abortion bans went through because there are so many people traveling to Colorado. I should have said that. Hey, Colorado, I'm still in Colorado, but so many people are coming here to Denver for abortion care. And they are just stretched so thin. So, hey, shout out if anyone, wants to donate this season, Cobalt Advocates need your help. They're getting, people from Texas and all the places over here, Kansas, Ohio, all these places around us. So not Ohio, Oklahoma, the other O state. Anyway, so going forward a little bit, so I went to about midlife. I was 39. I was doing the corporate America thing for, my career, marketing, and I've been in marketing and editorial publishing, that kind of thing. And I just had had it with corporate America. I didn't quite know why yet. This is back in like 2011, before, before the bad times came. And I just kind of had like a early midlife crisis, I guess, at 39, and I quit my job and I took off to Japan to teach English, and had that that experience abroad. And starting then, I wouldn't say I was radicalized yet, but starting then, I was able to see it's so important to travel. If anyone, I had that privilege to travel, and I absolutely, it's a privilege. But if you can do it, do it, because I was able to see what healthcare, like actual healthcare as a value, looks like in another country. And they don't have universal healthcare in Japan. It's national healthcare. So I did spend, my taxes went toward it, but it went toward our healthcare rather than bombs, And I really just saw, like, I got a really lo-fi surgery, I guess, not a serious surgery there. And I specifically, I knew I was coming home to the States in about, like the next year, and I'm like, I have to schedule this surgery here because it's going to cost me an arm and a leg when I get back to the States, and I don't have health insurance yet, you know, trying to find a job. And so I had the surgery there, and literally, like, you know, the appointments, pre-op, the operation, aftercare, the medicine, all of it, all the consultation, the bio, they did like a little biopsy thing, you know, make sure it wasn't cancerous, blah, blah, blah. $200 for everything. And really, that was kind of like my beginning to get radicalized, is like, wow, this is how it looks. And I just had no idea. You know, you just have no idea when you're stuck in this bubble. And so anyway, I came back, and for some reason, I chose 2017 to come back to the States when the dark one who shall not be named, took office for the first time. And I knew it was going to be crazy, but I had other things going on. My dad actually had some medical stuff come up, and I was coming home for that and to kind of help my family there. But I was ready to come home. And when I got here, so kind of make a little left turn here. My current husband and I knew each other before Japan, and this is our kind of, I guess you kids call it the meet cute, or our little origin story for our love story. So we met through mutual friends before I went to Japan, and we were just acquaintances. I went to Japan for 4 years. We were Facebook friends. About 6 months before I came back to Denver, he and I just kind of connected on Facebook again, and he's like, "Hey, I was just wondering, could I call you?" And we have, you know, Facebook Messenger. You can call each other from continent to continent, you know, country to country. And we just talked for hours and hours for 6 months. And so by the time I came back to the States, we were, you know, we really liked each other. We dated. So that was 2017. And the reason I'm bringing him into this is because he radicalized me. Brian is his name. I call him Mr. Abortion Influencer on my channel. Some people know that. But he really radicalized me. He was a Bernie guy, Bernie bro. I was, and I'm embarrassed to say it, but I was a Hillary girl. I call it a shit lib. I was a total shit lib. So I have empathy. I know what it was like being in that kind of, like, just, you know, that's how I grew up. And I did, you know, my parents and I got along. We talked politics, and we all agreed on everything. But when I was with Brian and we were dating, we got in these knockdown, drag out political fights, you know, and I just would not budge. And finally, I'm remembering it now, it's just kind of funny now. But finally, we were watching Michael Moore's, I forget the name of the documentary, but I forget, it was like tr how Trump rose in politics. I can't remember the name, but it was the part in that movie where they were showing the superdelegate system back in 2016 in the Democrats, the primary with Bernie and Hillary. And I saw the superdelegates vote for Hillary. I mean, we all know that now. Now looking back, we know that happened, but I had no idea. I was still in Japan when the election was going on. I had no idea about the superdelegates and how they were putting their vote for Hillary when their constituents voted for Bernie. And that did it. I don't know what it is for other people, but it was just that moment. And I'm a curious person. I've always wanted to, I don't want to look like a dumbass, you know? And I was like, I remember being in the movie, it was in the movie theater, and I turned to Brian and I was like, is that true? And he just said very wisely, he said, I don't know, you should look it up. And so I did. And then I went down the rabbit hole, and that was it. And now, like, I mean, just like went for it. And now I'm probably left of most people I talk to at this point. And I try to rein it in, but it's really hard, as you know, being a lefty. But yeah, I attribute my radicalization to my wonderful husband. And we have had some growing, you know, as I got more into my activism and the online presence and stuff, I've had some consequences from that that I'll talk about later. But we really had some growing pains there with him. He's very smart about politics and history, but he's more private, and I was sensitive to that, but also, like, we just had some growing pains to get through. And eventually, I forget what it was that changed him, but he's been like one of my biggest cheerleaders, and we've just gotten more into wanting to find community and get together with people and do real action, not just online, but actually getting involved in the Denver community, the what's it called, the PSL group I'm a member of now, which is the is it the Oh, the Party for Liberation and Socialism, I think. PS, no, Socialism and Liberation, I believe. Anyway, we want to get more involved in the community, and do more there. But as far as, sorry, I'm rambling now. But so as far as, so Zach, can I ask you, like, should we, do you want to cut in or anything, or do you want me to just keep rambling?
So you and I have like the same like political journey, okay?
Yeah.
So I think like growing up, my mom was never very like politically active at all. And I didn't, I kind of like made up like my own like philosophy and like my own theory. I was excited to see Donald Trump won in 20, or win in 2016. Okay. I had just graduated high school the year prior, and I was excited to see him run, right? And then there were some things during the 2016 election that I was actually really excited that he did back once he took office. And I was really excited because there was like very heavy like criminal justice reform. There was very heavy like, just a number of different things. So I was really excited, right? Then, the longer that it went on and then kind of going into 2020 and we had COVID. And I met my partner in 2018, and me and her used to butt heads a lot, like talking about like politics. She also was a Bernie supporter, like a Bernie bro. And at that time, this was before she began her transition. She, my partner, is transgender, and she's one of my co-founders of the movement. She's like a she's a silent partner essentially. Because she works all the time, she does DoorDash, and she helps financially and contribute that way, so I can kind of like focus on what I'm doing. And other than that, my mom is my reason for why I did a hard like quote unquote like left turn. And my mom is my big reason behind everything. My mom is the inspiration behind the movement and why we fight for survivors and why we fight to raise awareness about these crucial programs like SSI and food stamps. And these are not government handouts. These are taxpayer-funded programs that help enhance the lives of those who are disabled, elderly, sick, and the poor. The people that we need to focus on the absolute most. Not the top 1%, not these billionaires, not the corporations. Like right now, there's a massive push to cancel your Spotify subscriptions. Happy to report that they're negative 62 like point something percent in their stock market, which is a good thing, right? And we collaborate a lot with the 5051 movement that are doing the protests across the country, but we also collaborate with other local groups like Boots on the Ground Midwest here in the Kansas City metro area that does some incredible organizing of the Wine Moms, which I think is incredible. And whenever I'm sitting there and I'm the youngest person in the room, I'm excited to see that. And I'm starting to see younger people start to engage more. And it's really exciting to see. Now, me and my mom have been sitting here talking about everything that's going on. She lost her food stamps. And she was diagnosed with stage 3C cervical cancer in April. And it's been a constant battle of Medicaid in the state of Missouri, where we are both, where we both grew up, where we're both from. And we both live in Kansas right now. Kansas does not have expanded Medicaid. Kansas is more further ahead than Missouri is, but her programs are protected in Missouri because of the expanded Medicaid that us and the voters voted for and overwhelmingly passed at the ballot box. Last year, during the 2024 election, Missouri became the very first state to overturn a total abortion ban in the state of Missouri, but also the very first state to ever do that at the ballot box. Now, the attorney general at the time was Andrew Bailey, and he rejected it and put it back onto the ballots yet again. So there will be more to come on that. We just don't know when it's going to come. We don't know when it's going to hit. So there's just a lot of progress happening across the country. And I feel like this election cycle, like what we just had a couple of days ago, it did open my eyes a little bit about what's actually happening. And, huge shout out to Zohran Mamdani. Congratulations on winning your election in New York City. But also, I have friends that broke history in historic races across the country. One of my friends was elected into a mayor spot, and then I have several state representatives. I have some Congress member friends that are running in the midterms. Like, these are people that I connect with on like a practical daily basis that check in on me, check in on my mom. These are people that I know will fight for her right to exist as a disabled survivor, disabled woman in this country that likes to frown upon her because she is seen as less than because she's not able-bodied. So, with that said, I'd love for you to kind of dive in a little bit about what it's been like on social media. Obviously, you've dealt with censorship just like we have. And obviously, the left voices on social media are oftentimes looked over, right? And especially on like Meta platforms, I noticed it quite a bit. The other day, us cats on a couch, and there's a couple others like Still We Rise, which is a big left group as well. We got whacked at the exact same time with your account cannot be seen by people who do not follow your account. We got whacked with it almost instantaneously at the same time. And they want us to go through and remove our original content because it's seen as duplicated content on the Meta platforms. Even though it's our original content that we directly created, they will not let us continue to do that. And it's so annoying. So I would love for you to dive in and talk about what you're doing, what you're seeing on social media with censorship, and just kind of walk us through that journey for you.
First of all, shout out to you, both you and your mom. And your mom sounds amazing. And I wish you all the best for those fights. And I fight for her too. Just so you know, that's what I just love about community, and that's kind of the word community is how I'm going to start that my answer to your question. And yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot, probably too much, because yeah, and first of all, the censorship, that is bullshit, and I'm sorry that happened to all of you. For me, because I cover abortion, of course, and also I wanted to say I do not monetize my platforms specifically because of the censorship issue, and I'm not judging anyone else on this. It's just something I've been thinking about in general. But for me personally, because I don't want to be censored, like there's enough of that going around, and I want to be able to say what I want to say without thinking, "Oh, I have to use, these ridiculous spelling things that we do to get around." I don't censor my words anymore. There was a time, so I got really online during the pandemic, as a lot of people, and on Instagram, and I didn't know that much about it, but had a lot of time on my hands because I was an English as a second language teacher here in Denver when I came back from Japan, and then I was unfortunately downsized. I taught it at an adult private center. But yeah, we all got downsized during the pandemic or at the beginning of the pandemic. So I had a lot of time on my hands and I got online, which is always dangerous. There's that combination. But anyway, so early on when, so this would have been like 2020, 2021, it was so bad. I don't know if had started your account then, Zach, but at that time, it was so bad that if you said like the word stupid, for example, it would like just throw you off of your account for weeks on end. I don't know. I don't see that happening much anymore, but you know how you get your account suspended for months. One time I got like 3 months or something, and just ridiculous. And I at one point when, so I have a whole story of how I actually started the abortion influencer, which is not a good start, but it was a necessity. I'll come back to that. But just when I even bought the blue check for a little while because I thought that would help, you know, with the censorship issue. No, it the only thing it does, it gives you a direct line. You can call customer service for harassment and things like that. But, you know, I still got the suspensions. And so I'm like, why am I paying you to block my content for fuck's sake? Oh, I hope it's okay to cuss. Sorry. I think you said it was.
So, really quickly,
Yeah.
one thing about
Sorry.
this podcast is
Sorry.
we are, no, hold on, hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
We
Okay.
are unhinged. We are uncensored. You can feel free
Woohoo.
to say whatever the fuck you want because I believe in the power that we have in our collective voices and the liberation that we have to
Yeah.
ensure that we don't censor. And so, no, you're completely fine. It's very well reciprocated on this podcast. I know some podcasts are very like toned down. We are not.
Right. Okay, cool. I love that. Thank you. Yeah, I thought you had said that when we met before, but thank you for clarifying. Okay. Fuck it. Then I'm gonna use it. No. So anyway, I had that experience, a couple of things. And I'll come back to my quote origin story, but I did not get traction until I joined, as you said, the 50501 group and then learned about the collaborations. And you know, I saw people doing it and I was like, oh, they're lucky they have people they partner with and stuff. And so when I met up with you all and we started using it as a strategy, I was like, oh my God, it's amazing. It's the only way to really game the system, it felt like, is what I was calling it. And I actually just posted about this and I didn't tag anyone because I didn't want to like call, I didn't want anyone to think I was calling them out. But, and I'm going to tread lightly because I'm not. I know people probably think I'm being an asshole, but it's honestly, I am curious about this and I would like our community to think about it as just a something we just consider. And that is that by using, pardon the expression, but by using the oppressor's tools, how like we live in a society, this is the way we get the most traction. Like I don't get traction on any other platform but Instagram at this point. I've got a TikTok, but it's slowly growing, like really slow. The collaborations on Instagram helped me shoot up with as far as followers go. And so my question to the community, the lefty content creator community is, if we are using the quote oppressor's tools, and we kind of have to at this point, we don't have a public social media. How do we reconcile that with our values of community, mutual aid, et cetera? And I know, you know, there's fantastic fundraising going on. There's a lot of, you know, collaboration on projects, et cetera. But I've also had the experience of like larger accounts. And I mean like the big ones where like they're known, you know, across all, you know, huge accounts, where I tried to collaborate with them on, let's see, what was, oh, there was a general strike right after Dobbs. We were trying to put together a general strike for abortion rights. And I'm not going to name the account, but I thought this is someone who could get this w the word out, you know? And I quickly realized there's a line between lefty, and I know I have always known there's, you know, there's a difference between liberals and lefties. But it really became stark when I was trying to get traction on the strike because I reached out to this large account and she just completely ghosted me. Didn't even respond. Like, hey, I'm not really into that or whatever. Just g ghosted me, and it just became really apparent to me that people are on this platform if they make it their main mode of, you know, livelihood, they're going to like it just doesn't vibe with community. I'm sorry, it just doesn't. We are continuing to live in this capitalist mindset of I'm competing for followers, I'm competing for clout, I'm competing for, you know, whatever it is, my content, and I have to follow the algorithm and I have to do this. And but I'm not going to work with that person because they're small and I won't. And it's just gross to me. I'm sorry, that is very judgmental, but like I think we should be using these tools to the best of our to our ability that we can because you know they're shitty, especially Meta. Sorry, they're just horrible. I don't know why I said sorry. I'm not sorry, but yeah, they're really shitty. And how do we game the system? Well, collaborations are great. Well, then now we have people, you know, who are worried about how their pages look and they've uncollaborated with me and. You know, fine. If you need a break, obviously we all need time and space and, you know, everything. But when we talk about Oh, I'm a brand. I have to protect my brand. I have to, protect what is seen on my account. What the fuck are we doing anymore? Like, what is the goal? Is our goal to come together and fight against these, horrible, dark powers, the billionaires? Because if you're like, hey, I gotta monetize and I gotta worry about my brand on this social media of this billionaire who you have become a commodity to him. What the fuck are we doing? Like, my thing has always been like, I don't care how small you are. I had a gentleman who had a tiny little account reach out and say, hey, I really worked hard on this message. Would you mind? I'm like, absolutely. And I did all the shares, I put it up on my story. I don't give a shit about the algorithm, and sorry, I'm getting passionate about it. But, and I do get a little judgy about that because it's frustrating. What is our goal? If our goal is to fight, it's not through branding and girl bosses and pretty aesthetics on my page. It's about community and working together, and it just, I don't know. That has been rubbing me wrong, really wrong the last few couple of days. But in general, since I started my abortionfluencer account, just really seeing how the lines divide. And if we're worried about, what we look like and then attacking each other. And like, it's just social media I feel like it's the bane of our existence because we have to use it to get messaging out, but I don't think we're using it in the best way for our movement. I'll leave it at that. But yeah, I'm open to any ideas and how to make it better and what we can do to come together more. And maybe it's just a matter of like, fuck social media. Let's get together in person or let's get together on Zoom calls. I know that's still using, this technology, but it's certainly different than monetizing and using it as our livelihood. Yeah, work sucks. It sucks, but I like my day job. I happen to be kind of lucky in that I like my current job, but I've been in plenty of jobs that just fucking suck. And I do this in my spare time and it's hard sometimes, but we make sacrifices. It's the entitlement and like I'm owed that. No one's owed this. Like, make the sacrifices. If you are a true lefty, and you want to, it's about collective justice, then get off social media and stop making it about you and your brand. I think that should just be obvious, so anyway, I just want to put that out there. I don't know how many people are thinking about that. I feel like I'm alone in it. I felt like people kind of turned on me when I put that out there, but sorry, it's a reality. That was probably a very long answer to your question, but
I
I'll
think
pause there.
there are parts that I do agree with, and you make it very easy to digest, like hearing that, because I value all perspectives. Now, there have
Yeah.
been times that I have gone through and I have removed collaborations, but it's mainly because a lot of the accounts that we collaborate with, I don't necessarily agree with every single thing that they post, right? And there's
Yeah,
certain
yeah.
things we have our own, like, I wouldn't necessarily call it like a branding. But it's more of like a specific focus that we tend to
Oh,
focus
totally.
on. And that's a lot of the reason why we do it. Now, there are people out there that
Yeah.
do have a whole branding, and I know exactly what you're talking about without naming names. There's a couple accounts that pop up right off the top of my head, but I will not name drop them because I do respect the work they do. It's just how exactly how you said it, like how are you doing it? And if you're focused on the monetization side of it, you're doing it for the wrong purpose. You're doing it for the wrong reason. And because we're trying to amplify these accounts and amplify the work that they are doing to bring awareness to the issues that are happening. And whenever you go through and remove those collaborations, that does not help your algorithm. That actually suppresses your algorithm because it drops your reach. And that
Right,
I come
right.
from a marketing standpoint. I have a marketing background. I've done it for close to 10 years. Where we look at these analytics on these accounts and you start seeing them drop, that's because you're removing yourself from the collaborations because those collaboration posts continue to gain traction even months after. You're actually suppressing your own voice and you're actually being very digressive instead of being progressive. And you're still
100%.
contributing to the capitalistic society that we continue to live in. And it's just so blatantly wrong with how people are doing these collaborations and doing these content. Now, don't get me wrong, that's just my perspective. That's my standpoint. because I come from a marketing background, so I know how to market things, but I don't do it as a personal thing because no, it goes further than that. So I do agree with, a lot of what you said because it makes entire sense. And it's just
Sorry.
so blatantly wrong, like how people are doing this. It's not in the right way. Again, there's a couple of accounts that pop up on the top of my head very, very quickly, but I will keep it to myself. But other than that, I would love for you to kind of dive in a little bit more on why we need to work together instead of against each other, because these are issues that deeply impact all of us, not just some of us, not just one of us, but all of us as a collective liberation, because this is a time where we all need to come together instead of against each other.
And I think that's the perfect way to leave it, is that it is, again, it's in my mind, it's collaborative or collective justice. And I totally agree with you. Like, I really respect the work that everyone's doing, and I can understand to a certain extent. I totally understand, taking a break from people, and or certain people have said, "Hey, I'm taking a break," or I don't like certain, like you said about theme. Absolutely. Like, I've told people, obviously I'm the abortion influencer. It would be weird if I'm talking about, I don't know, gun violence and all the time. And every now and then I do go outside it, and I want to help people. Obviously, if there's a, breaking news that I think people should know. But now we have the sharing, that little sharing thing, which is really good. I'm just waiting for Meta to take that away, because it's been too good for us. But yeah, that's been good too. So yeah, I get that. But if you have a generalist account, like, you guys have been amazing, like I said, and I got to the, and I kind of, I don't want to take advantage of you, or take it for granted, I guess, or take advantage of you guys either, because I'm like, oh, I know they'll share it. But also, it's okay to push back a little bit and say, hey, I'm feeling this way. My thing is, like, if we're a community, then communicate, because that's part of communicate in your community, and talk to people about what you're doing. Don't just do it unilaterally. Like, that's not being a team player either. And part of my thing is, again, without naming names, is, like, just talk to people, not in a passive aggressive post that people might not see, but, like, one-on-one. Like, make it, like, how do you want to be treated? Like, would you, just think about that. The golden rule, I guess, and, like, again, I've always been, and I'm not saying I'm better, and I hope I don't sound arrogant. It's not that. It's just, like, my goal is, I want all of us to be lifted. Like, that's who lefties are. We want everyone to live better lives, and, live the life that the Constitution tells us we're living, which, we're not, is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we're not doing that right now. And so, yeah, just, again, for me, it's like, and actually, that's a good segue into, so yeah, I haven't monetized, like, the social media. The one thing I have started to do, though, with a little monetization, and that's, I don't mind saying, is Substack, because I'm doing some investigative journalism there. As you guys know, but I call it miscarriage of justice, where I got so frustrated with the media not following up on these criminalization of pregnancy stories. Like, well, what happened to that person after they were exploited, and I actually started, I was reaching out to media and saying, what, cover the story. And, I was getting ghosted, of course, like, who is this crazy lady from Denver? So I'm like, fuck it, I'll do it myself then. And I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm just gonna go in and do the best I can, and get some advice, and just do it. Like, I think that's a good way to talk to people about advocacy too. Don't get caught up in your head. Just do something. Do it. Whatever you can do is great. But anyway, back to the collaboration. And what I would love to do with the abortion influencer Substack is make it a, and I'm sure there are other things like this, but kind of like a co-op idea, like a collective investigative journalism, where it's not about the pay. It's about us working together, because I don't have the bandwidth. Like, even if I didn't have all of the other social media stuff that I do, like my day job, I can't do it full time, obviously. And so there are weeks where I can't get back to the story I'm investigating. So if there were other people, we were working together on it, there would be other people working on it. And, we all have to work, and have these jobs. Some people, unfortunately, are three jobs, to try to stay afloat, which really sucks. But what are our goals? Our goals are to, make that go away. And so we can work together on that. And whatever we're doing, whatever, space we're in, trying to find that justice and speaking truth to power is going to get us closer to that goal so that everyone's lifted and living a better life. And so, again, it's like I get the like journalism is traditionally like, oh, I got to get the scoop. I got to get the scoop before the New York Times or, whatever it is. It's very that rugged individualism, that we've been indoctrinated with in this country. And it needs to change, obviously. It is all culminated into this horrible moment we're in now. And there's so many issues, but that whole individualism and the isolation of capitalism and that we're competing against each other, all of that stuff, we need to throw it in the trash and work together. I don't want, and even me, like going, it's like that old brainwashing, like even going into the with my miscarriage of justice series, I was like, oh, it's mine. But no, I want to open it up. I really do. I would love, and I haven't actually promoted that yet. So it's just my goal to get to start promoting that. I've worked with a couple of people just individually, like, hey, how would you feel about doing a little research on this? They've said they wanted to help and they can't go to protests. So I'm like, hey, I don't have the bandwidth for this. So hey, here's some research you can do in the behind the scenes if you want. And but yeah, I would love to make it an actual thing. Like we just all get together and whoever, like you have marketing skills. I have a marketing background too, but I have that journalism background. Whatever skill, like again, it's that Marxist. I never get that quote right, but the Marx quote about to each their ability, whatever that is. Whatever your ability is, let's work together and not make it about money. We're not making money at this. We're finding justice for people who have been exploited and hurt. And as far as like protesting and organizing, I have learned to like I know there are Black and Brown organizers who have been doing this their entire lives. So I'm trying to really be humble about that and like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm gonna, defer to them because again, it's that expertise and really using our strengths to work together instead of trying to go it alone. My God, I don't know about you and other people, but man, we are doing so much on our own that it's just not for me. It's not gonna work. It's not what's the word? Tenable. It's not sustainable. That's the word. It's just we're doing the same shit. We're doing the same capitalist shit, and like you said, and we're staying isolated, and it's not gonna help us meet our goals. It's just not. I'm 100% confident in that in that statement. We are not gonna get there. So just taking a step back and just thinking about, what can we do differently? Like let's shake this shit up because it is not working. And if we want to live the values of, like our new the mayor of America, Zohran, we want to live those values. Like let's look to those people and their messaging and live that, not just, like, well, I'm a lefty, I'm a, whatever it is, I'm a leftist, I'm a this. Well, what does that mean? Like, if you really study or, know what that means, and like, when you're up against a fascist, authoritarian government, it's really being critical of not just the, like the people on the right, but our Democrats. And man, oh man, whew, it's gotten better now. But that was another thing that, man, I would get into and where I was kind of self-censoring a little bit in the beginning when I was trying to grow my account is, I constantly criticize Democrats, and I've had some pretty big accounts just turn on me and like out me and just, and again, not naming names, but just like staying, you're just stuck in that fucking system, and the Democrats aren't going to save us. Oh, I can share kind of a funny, I guess it's funny, little funny story just recently, just a random, person in a comment section, I said something about Democrat, you know, it's Republicans, but hey, we really need to look at the corporate Democrats too. And whatever I said, this person got really upset, like, you're attacking the wrong people. And I'm like, no, and here's why. And they said, okay, well, what can they do? They don't have, you know, they don't have the congressional power. What can the Democrats do? In big letters. And I went, I put time and thought into this. I thought their question was genuine. I know everyone's been through this, but I thought it was a genuine question from a, you know, a liberal or whatever. Put some time and thought into it and said, I really, and I believe this now, the Democrats are not going to save us. Like, no political, politician is going to save us, because they are, like, we are commodities to them now because we've monetized politics. So we are like a customer or something, a consumer. We are not constituents right now. We're consumers to them as well, because, you know, they see us as donors, you know. And so I just said, you know, we, like, the people, like I've been saying, like, the people need to come together collectively, and we are our saviors. We're the droids we've been looking for. And I just, you know, I put all this time and thought into it, and this asshole comes back and's like, so your answer is there is no answer. And I'm just like, oh my God. And it's so depressing, Zach, because, like, I just, when I think we're, like, making progress, a shitlib comes up in my comments, and I'm just like, ah, it's going to take forever to change this mindset. And I was so, and I was not being true to my values. And I just, like, I said what was in my mind. I typed back what was in my mind, and it was literally like, you're an asshole. Like, I put all this time into this, and, like, dude, I answered you. Anyway, so yeah, social media is toxic, and it is not going to be the way we win anything. And I hope people start realizing that. And once we get something different, I am there. Like, I've been trying to get people off Meta stuff, like Facebook. It just doesn't work. Everyone is just glued to it. So as soon as there's something better and different, I am totally there. And yeah, and I'm just going to put this out on your podcast now. If anyone wants to work with me on investigating these women who, and mostly it's again, Black and Brown women. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, more. But Black and Brown women and poor, you know, lower income communities are always, always the fucking victims of these awful policies first. And as, you know, white privileged, I'm going to say it, white privileged lady, you know, middle-aged lady, I you know, it just, like, it bothers me. It keeps me up at night. And I want to do what I can to help, whatever that is, you know. And if it's just shut up, Colleen, I'll do that too. But for now, anyway, Miscarriage of Justice is the current story I've been investigating is Mallory Patrice Strait in Texas, Bexar County, San Antonio, Texas. She was the woman who, God, it just haunts me. But anyway, she was an unhoused Black woman who gave birth at a Whataburger fast food restaurant, and she was thrown in prison for 5 months. And that part I knew from the news, you know. And Jessica Valenti, who does Abortion Every Day newsletter, amazing woman, amazing platform. If anyone wants to keep up on day-to-day abortion policies and stuff, it's Jessica Valenti again. But anyway, I was reading her stuff about it, and the injustice just hit me so hard. I was so mad. So 5 months in prison, and then they're like, oh, yeah, there's nothing here. And then they release her, and I'm like, what happened to this poor woman? Like, you know, and then there was this other, and you'll see this if you go to the Abortion Influencer Substack. I've covered all this if you want to read it. But just horrible, like a religious nonprofit took her fetal remains and had this public burial for, you know, clout in the community. And I've been, so it's all these really crazy aspects of this case. I'm like, what the hell happened to her, though? Because the media constantly, of course, centers the fetus, and it's about the babies and the fetus. And they just, women are just, you know, the women who have been exploited and harmed by these horrible systems, we don't hear about them. And I was so mad. And like I said, I reached out to this woman who was covering it, covering the funeral and giving all these glowing stories to this weirdo who stole the fetus, is what the fetal remains, and gave it a burial. And I'm like, what happened to Mallory though? And I couldn't get an answer, so I started investigating myself. It is so fucked up. It is absolutely everything we suspected that it was a wrongful imprisonment case, and I'm still working on it. So, all that said, I will shut up. If anyone wants to help me work on it, it's basically like following up. Right now, I've got to follow up with some phone calls to the medical examiner and the sheriff's office because there's some weird shit, and I need to follow up and find out what the hell went on behind the scenes because it seems like it was at the very least completely unethical and at the worst illegal. And I'm going to do what I can to see what we can find. But again, it's not about me. It's about all of us, and I would love help. Like, if anyone wants to join me, you get a byline. We can collaborate on it. So I'm gonna shut up.
So with that said, obviously those of us here, and I know I can talk for our movement because there's really only four of us that are behind this. We cover topics that go from current political happenings to Jeffrey Epstein survivors to, cancer research, healthcare, abortion rights, reproductive rights, wrongful incarcerations. There's a number of things that we cover, and I personally would love to help you amplify the work that you are doing, but also collaborate with you because I do have a journalistic background as well. I would love
Yay.
to help amplify. And for anybody out there, again, if you're listening to this episode, Pauline has a really good idea. We need to collaborate, and it's not about Pauline. It's not about me. It's about all of us and ensuring that the fact-based, fact-checked information gets out into the world that people understand. Because we, as a country and as a society, rely on mainstream media to cover these stories, but mainstream media is not going to cover the stories. If they
Yes.
do, it is so watered down, it's edited, it's chopped down to, it's so beyond disturbing that we rely on, so we rely on mainstream media to get stories out there. And whenever it doesn't, we just wring our hands and say, well, they're not covering it, so neither are we. No, that's not how it works. That's not how this works. That is not how I want to see mainstream media actually cover these stories and amplify these stories and these voices, but I know damn good well they're not going to. And so, me personally, I would love to help you. And I'm
Yay.
putting that out into the world because I think if people start seeing these other like movement leaders come together and they see these bigger accounts coming together and they start seeing this, they too will begin to contribute because they're like, hey, these people are legitimately serious. They're doing the actual organizing, they're doing the actual investigating this. So
Yeah,
I
awesome.
believe in collective liberation. That goes to the decolonization of community care. And the decolonization of our communities, because I grew up in colonization. I grew up in that.
Yeah.
I seen it. I know what it looks like. And we need to decolonize our communities, but we need to decolonize within ourselves to understand how do we get back to those original community roots to ensure that our voices, collective, represent the majority. And that's the reality that we need to get back to. And until we do it within ourselves, it's not going to change. And we're going to continue contributing to these trickle-down economics that in this capitalistic hell that we're just stuck in. And
Absolutely. Yes.
capitalism is not, if it would have been capitalism, if it was used in the way it was quote unquote intended,
Yeah.
it's actually not necessarily the worst, right? But at the same time, whenever you have billionaires like Elon Musk and Jeffrey Bezos and all these tech bros and these big ass corporations like Spotify and Amazon that continue to contribute to politicians that legitimately do not give a fuck about us, they've proven
Yeah.
that they just care about that almighty dollar and that top 1%. That top 1% is going to fuck them over quicker than anything. They don't even realize that. But that's okay. Let them find out. They will survive if they stop receiving those billionaire dollars. Who's not going to survive is your elderly neighbor, that child that is going without food, especially right now. My mom,
Yeah.
who has a risk of losing her health care at any single chance. She is glued to her phone, watching social media, watching TV because, and she's never done that But it's a very real reality that the next moment she could lose her health care. She could lose her social security. She already lost her fucking food stamps. How much further are we allowing this to continue going before we say enough is enough and recognize what is truly happening in our communities? Donald Trump is not going to save us. He's not going to save us. And there is not a Democrat or a Republican that I'm looking at right now for the 2028 election, because to be quite frank, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't see where we come out of this until the American people rise the fuck up, stand the fuck up, and fight back.
Yeah.
You cannot just roll over and just let this continue to happen. You have to get out in the fucking streets, and we need to dismantle these patriarchal systems that continue to destroy our communities, continue to destroy people like my mom, and say that that 12-year-old that is hiding in her closet because the Supreme Court said she does not have a right because she was raped by her biological father or her stepfather, she cannot have an abortion. Until we fight for people like that, do not fucking tell me that you are pro-life. You are not pro-life. You are pro-forced birth, because once that child is born, you can give a fuck less about that child. And God forbid, Colleen, God forbid that they recognize that child has a disability.
Oh, yeah.
They have some type of deformity, because then they don't give a fuck about it. You want to say that we live in a pro-life nation? Those Sandy Hook children should have graduated high school last year and began college this year. Sandy Hook, Columbine, Parkland, Uvalde, where the police stood outside while children were being slaughtered inside for 77 minutes. That should have been the end. But how many more have happened? Children were literally attending a Catholic school in Minneapolis, Minnesota, that I used to live in, right down the street from where that school is. I used to walk by that school every single day, going to work, going and just walking around the neighborhood. I used to live very close to there. What did I see? I saw children praying. I was like, okay, they're using their religious freedom as they should. Children were literally in the middle of praying and they lost their fucking lives. So do not tell me it's about thoughts and prayers, because what happens with thoughts and prayers leads to more of this. Because what we need is less thoughts and prayers. We need policy and action to ensure that those children can go to school and they also return home. How many more parents need to say goodbye to their child knowing that's actually the actual goodbye? That's the last time they see their child actually alive.
Yeah.
I'm popping off at this point, but this really, it all comes together, and it's all by design. Oftentimes we hear that a system is broken, but how can a system be broken when it's working exactly how it was designed? Look at the criminal justice system. Look at the mental health system. Look at our bullshit, capitalistic, ran down, whitewashed healthcare system in the richest country in the entire world. We can't even get basic health care. We have Medicaid expansion in states like Missouri and several other states, but we also contribute money to other countries' universal health care. Israel is one of them. And look what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole different topic. I'm going to leave it at that. But it all ties in together. It's all by design. Yeah. Where the billionaires get the top 1% and poor elderly, the sick, and children get absolutely nothing. They get the top tax breaks, and we pay more in taxes, but we pay more in taxes and we don't get the benefits because of it, because they continue to chop it and use that money to send bombs and weapons to arm and fund a genocide.
Yeah.
And it continues going. That is where those billionaire dollars are going. Because they're contributing it to those politicians, and then it trickles down to the rest of us, where our tax dollars, we lose our Medicaid, we lose our food stamps, we lose our housing, and it goes to slaughter children. Not only just in Palestine, not just in Gaza, but also Sudan, Congo. There's genocide happening across the world. And it's not being covered because mainstream media is complicit in the silence.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I'm glad... Sorry. Yeah. No, I'm really glad you did pop off about that, because you're right. It all comes together. And yeah, and the only reason I focus on abortion rights is just because I couldn't. I had a more general account and I just couldn't do it. It was too much. So, if you find your passion, narrow it down so you can do more, go deep instead of trying to go wide. As we say in marketing, actually, yeah. But no, what that made me think, like, as part of the system and the design of it, is this right versus left, right? And the right wing, and I call them the MAGA party. I don't call them the GOP or Republicans anymore. They're the MAGA party. Let's face it. The MAGA party and their, talking heads, Fox News, all these idiots, they are very, very good. This is one of those logical fallacies in debate. Very, very good at doing black and white. So there's right and left. There's blue and red. There's abortion. There's pro, or I guess they call it pro-choice, pro-life, whatever. This is all by design. And I talk a lot about language too. And I think that's part of our, that should be part of our advocacy, is the language that we use in this country is so, is it divisive? Divisive. I don't know how people say, is it divisive? It's so baked into the system of me versus them, scapegoating immigrants, whatever. It's Americans versus non-Americans. There is, I want people listening, if they can, to really start. This is what I had to do when I was radicalized, is really start looking at how both parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, use language to divide us. And it is, once you get it and you're like tuned into it, you see it in news headlines, you see it in the way people speak, the talking heads, even the podcasters, even really well-meaning people who are, quote, team Democrat or liberals or even lefties. We all do it just because we live in this society where that's the norm, is that we're black and white, they're in the culture war, black and white, or we're, supposed to watch Netflix for, 3 days straight, like binge watch a show. So they have us distracted in a few different ways, I think. And I just want people to really start looking at language. And one of the things I just want to mention, my wise husband again, but he is really good about turning the narrative around. So I'm trying to think of an example. So if the right wing is talking about, I don't know, like how about social communism and bread lines or whatever, he's like, we have bread lines here. It's happening right now in capitalism, and I see more and more people doing that too. But it's so important to, I don't know, like you're in marketing and so in journalism. So, like in our world, language is everything. The pen is mightier than the sword and all that. And I truly believe that once we get our heads around what they're doing, and I'm talking about Democrats too, like all of them, like even like pro-choice versus pro-life. I talk about this a lot on my platforms, but that's the wrong framing and it has kept us divided. There are so many, shades of gray within that spectrum of people, and we are letting them divide us this way. And it isn't pro-choice, it's just fucking healthcare. Like I love that, our movement, like, and I'm going to credit the younger folks and like that narrative shift of like, this is crucial healthcare. And same with trans rights and gender affirming care and disabled care, like you said, like all of that. We have to change the narrative. I think it is super important. And when you have, I'm sorry, I'm going to call this out again, and I know it's super controversial, so please don't come for me. But when that story broke on, I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was on Wired, Taylor Lorenz. Hate to even say the name because she's so controversial, but she did that investigative report on liberal content creators are taking billionaire money, dark billionaire money now through this organization called Chorus. And because, and they, there's a whole thing about it, and they're trying to, like, immediately after it came out, they were trying to discredit her and personal attacks. And no one actually talked about what she said, which was absolutely accurate, because you, as a journalist, know that when it's published, you better have your T's crossed and your I's dotted, or you're going to get your ass sued. And so when a reputable, publication like Wired, puts out a story, they have done all of that work. They're not going to put something out that's a lie. And so that's where I come from. I like you, like fact-based evidence is so important. And there is something to be said for propaganda, but I hope, there's so much misinformation on the left too, and it drives me insane. Everyone's so emotional and, reactionary and like fucking hell. Could we just like do the basic amount of work and go look for reputable sources and see if this is true, We have to get our shit together on this. It's so important, especially if you're on social media. It's all about language. It really is. It's the words we use and write. And so yeah, I'm just glad you brought that up. And like our entire system is about, this right versus left framing. And I know more and more people are, obviously talking about this. It's amazing to see the transformation and how so many liberals even have been radicalized over the last few years. I don't get yelled out as much when I criticize Democrats, which is great. But we have to change the framing from left versus right to bottom versus top. We've talked about that a lot in our spaces. And anytime someone's trying to bait you into this left-right, no, just bring it back to the billionaires. My latest thing is like when I feel like talking to strangers, I'll be like, just think we could be working together to take down billionaires, but you're talking about this poor trans person, or whatever it is. And it's just stupid. But there was one other thing I wanted to say about, oh yeah. So I really hope, and this is a huge, like seismic shift. So I don't know if this is possible. This is my utopia. Is that, like I said, like when I made that comment to that the liberal person who was not a real question, but really thinking about our politics in this country have become like a movie. It's so sensationalized, and politicians should not be celebrities, but yet we have made them celebrities, and we have lifted them up on these pedestals. Even people like Bernie Sanders, and I love him. And I, oh my God, the second time he ran, I was one of his number one, like donors and campaigners, and it's really into it. And I was disillusioned because yet again, the system, the corporate Democrats were like, thanks, Bernie, but nope, you're get back there, and just squashed our entire movement. I was so disillusioned. That was another thing that kind of radicalized me, was seeing that politics are not going to save us, guys. That's what I'm trying to say. And we need to really make a shift to we, the people, we have so much power. Like, I will give you one little example. Recently was the Jimmy Kimmel thing. Like, just like that. It was what, within 24 hours or something? People came together and boycotted, and Disney was like, oh, fuck. And I mean, change it immediately. Like that, but of course, that was a class issue too. And I want people to really think about that and think of class all the time. We should always have class consciousness if we want to do this work, I think. But in that, I was trying to figure out how to say this on my account, but I'm like, that's not abortion related. So I didn't. But that was all about class because Jimmy Kimmel, it was the Hollywood elite, one of our own, was attacked. And that's why that happened so fast, because a bunch of actors put it out there and got it out there, used their platforms for that messaging. And Jimmy Kimmel, who is also a privileged person in the elite class, was looked out for. Well, we down here, little in our little lowly groups, we need to start thinking that way. Those people are not our friends either. Like corporate Democrats are not our friends. Liberals are not our friends. The corporate media, they're not our friends. Hollywood's not our friends. It's all aesthetics. The real work is down here on the ground with organizers, with community. And we need to not only, like, we've been abuse victims. That's how I see it. Like, also, is like we're abuse victims, and we're so gaslighted and brainwashed that we think we have to look to these people to be our saviors, or whatever it is. I don't have the answer, but I definitely see, like, everyone keeps looking to the Democrats or the politicians. They've lost their way. I heard it was, oh, what's his name? Is it Jason James? He's the young man on The Daily Show. He's a comedian, and it was just this brilliant stand-up he was doing, where he said it so well. And he was saying like that thing about like we become consumers, and we need to take our power back and realize that we are constituents, we're citizens of this country, and we need to take it back. And I think that first step is like understanding how much power we have, because boycotting and like protesting is great. That is great for like getting the message out that people are pissed. And a lot of people are like, okay, and then what? And I think 50501 has been, you know, they get, everyone's going to get criticized. You know, you can't please all the people all the time, but I think they've been really good about that shift to, you know, the Black Friday blackout boycotts, you know, and boycotting the big stores. If anyone hasn't heard about that and you're listening now, what is it like? It's the 25th, November 25th through December 2nd, I think. Do all your shit early, get your food, whatever, and then do not spend on any of those big places like Amazon, Target, all the big places. Shop locally, shop your small stores locally. I saw, I don't know who the person was, but I saw a comment asking on a post just generally, well, if we can't use Amazon, where should we go? And it's like someone else snarkily answered, remember when we shopped in local stores? Do that. They're still there. Like, but yeah, just shop or, you know, go to recycling places, go to ARC thrift stores. I don't know if you guys, if that's a national thing. I think it is ARC. Goodwill is national. Go to thrift stores, make your own presence, have a, my friends and I, there's not politics, but personal thing. My friend group, we had this, we called it Adventure Club Christmas, and we would all like, you could ask for anything. So like one time I asked for, a gay boyfriend or something like that, who would be my gay boyfriend, and, or some, you know, world peace, whatever you want for Christmas. And then the person you got, almost like a white elephant kind of thing. So a secret, but the other friend who got your name would have to interpret that somehow. So it could be a performance or, you know, a craft. When I asked for a gay boyfriend, one of my gay boyfriends actually got my present, and he gave me a Ken doll that he painted and made into my gay boyfriend, you know, and like put that on the package and stuff. Anyway, all that is to say, like, think differently, you guys, because everything right now is trying to divide us. Including the social media, going back to these companies, Zuckfuck, I heard someone say recently, Zuckfuck, he is laughing all the way to the bank. He doesn't give a shit about all our drama online and all this culture war shit. They don't care. Like, that's the other thing. I know people are chasing the algorithm and the trends. I'm so sick of seeing people on the left jumping on the culture war crap. Like, even like people I just really adore, like Majority Report, you know, the big lefty podcasters, and Hassan Piker. I love them. I adore them. But they're so, you know, they have to do the culture war bullshit. And I'm just so sick of it. Can we please just, could we do something different? I'm so sick of the culture war. It's not working for us. So yeah, anyway, that's, I don't know if I answered your question.
I think it does answer the question. And then, you know, also, I want to say thank you for coming on the podcast today and, you know, being this sounding block that, and honestly, you know, I find myself relating to everything that you're saying, because it's everything that I've been thinking. You know, you're saying the quiet part out loud. And I think that's where a lot of the attribution comes from. And I know that's where a lot of people are going to turn to, and they're going to hear this podcast and I'm like, oh shit, Rise Above Justice Movement really is talking to people and trying to actually be the voice and be that change, because the Rise Above Justice Movement is not just a movement, it's a mission. But I'm also not backed by corporations. I'm not backed by billionaires. I'm not backed by, and I'm not a nonprofit. We're purely a grassroots, people-ran, survivor-led, survivor-focused movement that amplifies the work of people that are on the ground every single day doing the hands-on work, and they don't get the credit for it.
Yeah.
Who does get the credit for it? And for the DNC to continuously sit and take credit for the election of Zohran Mamdani is disgusting. And people turn to people like Hakeem Jeffries. He did not do a damn thing. He actually waited until the very last second to endorse Zohran. And then he sits here and says that, oh, you know, I don't think we can have people like him in the Democratic Party. Yeah, actually, you can. He is the face.
The Islamophobia. The Islamophobia that has come out, it's so disgusting. Like, from corporate Democrats to the right. But yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Because they're backed by, you know,
Yeah.
these super PACs and by this PAC money. And until we get money out of politics, we're going to continue seeing that these corrupt politicians get elected all across the country. But if there's anything that I realize, you know, Atlanta, Georgia just elected their very first socialist city council member. She was DSA
Wow.
endorsed. And I am a card-carrying member of the DSA, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. I don't give a damn who likes
Yeah.
it and who does not. But
Love
I
it.
am a card-carrying member of the Kansas City DSA, and they are doing some very impactful work. One of the things that they actually just did for the, they collaborated with other DSA chapters in the Midwest and canceled billions of dollars of medical debt. They did fundraisers. They did a virtual fundraiser, and then they also did fundraisers. And eventually, I went and spoke at the Kansas City one and shared my mom's story that if she would not have had Medicaid expansion in the state of Missouri, she would have had to pay over $150,000 hospital bill whenever she had double pneumonia in both of her lungs and blood clots that almost took her life.
Jesus, that's,
She
oh,
would have
God.
had to pay $150,000 hospital bill. I shared that. People donated, and we broke the record of what they were actually looking for because they realized these deep, impactful stories are what is going to make a difference. So, if
Yeah.
anybody's listening, you want me to come speak to your group, let me know because I have a story that will resonate with people and they will turn up and to listen to me speak. They will. And I,
Amazing.
there was not a dry eye in that room whenever I shared about my mom almost dying in the hospital because it's true. She, my mom gave me permission to share that story because we need to amplify stories like my mom and make sure that her voice is out there. Because
Yeah.
if it is not, nothing is going to change. We're going to continue being in this corporate hellscape. Corporations are not going to save us. Mainstream media is not going to save us. Billionaires are not going to save us. We, the people, are going to save us. So,
Hell yes.
with that, Colleen, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. Is there anything else you would like to share with anybody, or how can people follow your work, amplify your work, contribute to your work, and how can they get involved with what you're doing?
Yeah, I realized I haven't really talked much about abortion rights, but again, it's not about me. Even if I call myself the abortion influencer, but yeah, when I write to people on my Substack, I call everyone
Sorry
abortion
about the
influencers.
disaster.
Oops. Oh, sorry about. Yeah, I know you can cut that. Yeah, I call everyone abortion influencers. So I'm trying to build that community and like, yeah, we should all be abortion influencers. But anyway, yeah, I didn't talk much about that. But thank you so much for giving me this platform to get all of this stuff that's been in my head and just put it out there because I hope I articulated it in a way. Like I said, I hope it doesn't come across as arrogance. It's not that at all. It's pure frustration. And I know we're a big country, so change is not going to happen overnight. I know that. But I just want people to start thinking differently. And yeah, I've said enough about that. But as far as abortion rights go, you know, I pointed out Jessica Valenti does abortion every day. Her thing is a lot of the policies, day-to-day news stories, breaking news about abortion access. There's some nefarious shit going on that I think probably the majority of Americans don't know, even in activist spaces, because there's so much going on. You know, it's hard to focus, and I get that totally. But there's just some really gross things happening right now that need some light shine on it. So, for example, what I'm trying to say is the GO or the MAGA party, they are really sneaky. I know we've seen this in a lot of other areas, but as far as like trans rights and abortion rights are totally intersectional. They are these religious based, powerful law firms like oh shoot, what's the name? There's the Thomas More Society. America something Alliance for Defending Freedom. I think that it's some stupid name like that. Alliance Defending Freedom, something like that. They are very powerful, and they are the ones behind all of the anti-trans bills and the anti-abortion bills. The quote you know, freedom of religion, which is actually bigotry in disguise, which is like basically legal bigotry, a terrible SCOTUS decision. I'm betting you guys are aware of it, but yeah, the SCOTUS decision about trans rights, basically just legalized discrimination against trans people. It's fucking disgusting. But I just, again, like seeing that we're not these separate issues is another thing, is like, we are intersectional and we need to, you know, work together. It's one of my articles actually talked about the labor movement, and this might be the key. I don't know, just my idea or some idea, but using labor and labor movements, unions, to bring all of these issues together. And I think one of the biggest mistakes I see in the abortion rights arena is that we went, I call it the girl boss and nonprofit route. And maybe it worked early on, but it is not the model we need today. We need like these really badass organizers on the ground who've been doing the work. But we need to stop separating the issues. This is my, you know, just my belief, but using labor to really just, you know, talk about those abortion rights as labor rights, because it is absolutely part of work, right? If you're, you know, pregnant and you're not allowed, family leave, you're not allowed to spend time with your child after they're born. You have your period and your cramps and you can't work, you know. We've seen a lot of stuff come out about women like being more vocal about like, do you men get it? Like, we, you know, we bleed and we are in pain much of our work life. Like, and I'm in perimenopause, you know. I was out, like I was very open with my male boss, you know, and said, hey, I'm having these health issues related to perimenopause, like my focus, you know, all the things that happen, hot flashes and like being unfocused and mood swings and all that stuff. And you're dealing with your doctors and this horrible health system that I'm glad you talked about, Zach. It is, oh God, it makes me so mad. I can't tell you. And I will fight to the death on getting the hospital bills down. I will wait them out for an entire year on one of my bills. I'm like, fuck you, I'm not paying this. And I will die on this hill. So I hope everyone's fighting. It sucks that we have to, but yeah, we have power. Anyway, so back to abortion rights specifically. Sorry about that. So keep your eye on the law firms that are behind this. I'm doing a series now also. I just wanted to plug a little bit. Again, if anyone wants to join me in this as well, but it's about, I call it the abortion, what do I call it? Anti-abortion. Oh, shoot. Now I'm forgetting what I call it. Give me 1 second, Zach. Please cut this out. I'm going to look at it real fast. I know you have to go.
Yeah, I got you. You're good.
Oh, gosh. My brain just, see, perimenopause. it gets really, like, just aging in general. Like, I do not remember anything unless it's in my calendar these days. Like, okay, sorry. Where'd it go? Shoot. Okay. Oh yeah. Sorry. Duh. Okay. Forced birth industrial complex. So you've heard about, you know, the military industrial complex. It is absolutely a forced birth industrial complex. And please go check out my articles about this. I think I've done two. I'm planning for a 6-part series about this, where I'm doing this deep dive and connecting the it's the money. Yet again, it's always the fucking money. But these people, because they're, you know, and they're in churches and they meet up every Sunday, they have this natural network and they have these huge billionaire backers. And they're, you know, you don't hear about these guys. You're hearing about them more now. But this disgusting web of like, it's the fake pregnancy centers that are religiously based, and they're funded by now our tax dollars. I hope people know that especially with Trump, but it was going on before Trump with Bush Jr., but Trump changed Title X, destroyed it for abortion, you know, like reproductive care, like Planned Parenthood. And they're now funneling your tax dollars into fake pregnancy centers who will lie to their patients so that they will never get an abortion. Like, that's their goal, is to lie and manipulate women and girls, and pregnant people into not getting an abortion. So they will do everything they can to lie to you, including giving you the wrong gestational, where you are gestationally, I don't know if that's a word, to delay you past whatever fucking laws in that red state, putting lives in danger, for their fetus fetish, is what I call it. It's disgusting. And yeah, so anyway, it's called Forced Birth Industrial Complex. If you check out Substack, theabortionfluencer.substack.com, I believe it is. I'm covering that stuff. Again, if you want to collaborate on that, that'd be great. My next one is going to be about pregnancy surveillance, which is getting insane with all of the surveillance we have now, and the AI, and the police are using surveillance now to track pregnant people with their license plates going, traveling to other states. They're trying to restrict interstate travel for pregnant people trying to, go to other states now to get abortion care. They are so politically, the GOP, they have written letters to the brainworm idiot, was RFK Jr. So health and what is it, health services, whatever, health and whatever services. They've written letters to them to get them to research, quote, the harms of birth control, is the most recent thing. They, you guys, 100%, they're trying to ban birth control. Don't let them mealy mouth and, wishy-washy and try to cover it up. They are coming for birth control. If you are not involved in reproductive rights right now, you need to be. I'm sorry. Like, I always, like, I know it's my baby and it's my passion, so I may be skewed on this, but I feel like abortion rights get pushed to the bottom because, and I get this, it's like a, it's personal. It should be private. It absolutely should be private. There's no, it should never have been politicized. And in case you're the last person on earth and you've been living under a rock, just to let everyone know, this all really, really heated up. This is so gross. It's all about white supremacy, guys. That's another thing it goes back to in this country. When the civil rights era had all of the gains that they got in the 70s, 60s and 70s, and we had the Civil Rights Act. After that, the Republicans realized they could not use busing and segregation as a wedge issue for political power anymore. And so they teamed up with these evangelicals and said, wow, well, abortion and babies, that's an emotional issue. Let's use abortion. And that's where it all started. White supremacy, evangelicals, do not let anyone lie to you about it. It is a white supremacist project. And they are coming for all, a white supremacist evangelical project, I should say. So they are coming for birth control. They are coming for abortion pills, of course. They're trying to, if you haven't seen this, they're trying to say that abortion pills are polluting our water. Like, the fucking gall of these people, right? To just, they're always usurping our language and our activism and twisting it, So now they've got this, it's an environmental issue. Since when do you fuckers, when do you care about environmentalism? It's just so, what is the word? It's just such a cynical project. And like, they think we're all idiots. And I just want everyone to be, try to keep up on that, keep up on all the issues. I know there's a lot going on. Just be aware of not only the ways they try to divide us, but just how cynical their project is and how stupid they think we are. And let's prove them wrong. Let's prove them the wrongos that they are, I should say. So anyway, I'm gonna shut up now. But yeah, if anyone wants to collaborate on any of this, again, I'm very, I it's not about me, it's about us, as Bernie said. And I would love to collaborate with anyone, and not just on my stuff, but on other stuff. I'm in the 50501 content group, whatever. If anyone wants to collab on anything, please reach out. I'm here as much as I can. I don't sleep. I just do this. And thank you, Zach. Thank you so much for this opportunity. And I love what you're doing. And thank you so much for all of your, your collaborations and help. And I am here for you as well. So anything you need, let me know.
All right. Likewise, my friend. Thank you so much. And please take care of yourself, okay? You are a
Thank
vital
you.
voice in this world, and we need you here.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. I feel the same way. Thank you.
Of course. Take it easy, okay?
Okay, bye everyone.